How do you do? Today I'm sizzling turkey wok and I've got three fantastic white and risotto rinds for you. Two Italian and one from Moldova. You'll be bowled over with my Moldova. Now the first thing I want to do is to get the wok hot. So I'm just going to strike a match, as it were. Go. And I'm going to add ground nut oil, because ground nut oil made from peanuts is the one that will get the hottest, you see, and so it's absolutely ideal for hot wok. Okay, so we just leave that in there while I cut up some onion. And some red pepper. And some root ginger. You can add garlic if you want to, but I don't because I don't like it. This is the beautiful thing about stir fries, you just add and subtract as and where you want, you know. I do think root ginger is absolutely essential, so just cut it to a reasonable size and peel off the brown stuff very carefully, and then just going to slice that nice and thin, and so doing turkey watch is the most basic, incredibly basic stir fry, and I'm going to pair this with a couple of white wines and a risotto, because I do like to have a variety of wines during the summer months. So this will be absolutely ideal for your different poultry dishes and fish, and also of course barbecue must-haves. Here we go. I'll leave a little bit of ginger for drinks. So, you know, a couple of slices of root ginger is really, really nice in a rum or any other kind of dark or even white rum, whatever, you know, just nice. Okay, so I've got some, these were really cheap. These were 14p spring onions. It's just chop them, and then I'll pop the first bits into the hot wok. Right, so never be afraid to buy cut down veg, because it's all going to go fantastically into your stir fries if nothing else. So the wines that I've got today come from the heel of the boot of Italy. That's Puglia, Southern Italy, fantastic wines. And I've got a white Fiano and a Rosato, which is made from Primitivo, Nero di Troia and Negro Amaro, the three big reds of Southern Italy. And then I've got an interesting Moldovan wine, just a Pinot Grigio, but I think it's going to have some surprise about it, and that's from Moldova. So Moldova is quite new for wine. Well, that is to say, they probably drank, you know, the Russian Tsars probably drank Moldovan wine in the 1900s, 1800s. But it's kind of new to the West, you know, but there's a fantastic investment in the wine making equipment and everything over there. And you know, you seriously need to be looking in at the supermarkets and the club wines. See if you can get yourself some Moldovan wine, and failing that, Romanian wine. They're fantastic prices, top end product. I'm just slicing some mushrooms, and I'm a bit rustic, you know, nice big pieces. You don't want them disappearing in the mix, do you? There we go. So far I've got onion, spring onion, red pepper, ginger, mushrooms, and I'm just about to add some broad beans. And then I've got some spring greens. I mean, absolutely anything green like that would do, you know, whether it's kale or pak choi or whatever. I'll just get that sizzling a little bit. And then when that's looking hunky-dory do, I'm going to add the spring greens, and then I'm going to create the sauce around it. Now, I never use packet sauces or anything like that, so I'll just run you through the ingredients. First up, and you can put these into a little tiny mug and then put some boiling water on, which I think I might do. Find a little mug. This is a little tiny Le Creuset purple coffee cup. It's really, really cute, but it's absolutely ideal. You can find a teaspoon for mixing up spices. So just a little bit of ginger. I've got the root ginger, but I like a bit of spicy powdered ginger as well. And Chinese five spice, I just couldn't live without it. Most people don't know what it's for, but you know, it's for these nice stir fries I do. So I've put in about three times as much Chinese five spice there as the ginger, and I'm going to put a tiny snip of nutmeg. Only the tiniest little bit on the edge of the spoon. There you go. So it's very powerful nutmeg, and it's right in the winter, but you don't want it overpowering in the summer, you know. So pop those back on the spice shelf. Now, let's give this a little bit of a come on. The trouble with a basic standard gas cooker is you've only got high and low. So if you can possibly get yourself a butane standalone sort of camping cooking stove, that's going to be much better, because the power of the gas will be much harder, and you'll be able to use at least three settings. But I'm just sort of making do at the moment. It's okay, you just have to take some time. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to put some hot water onto those spices, and I've created a little bit of a spicy liquid there, which, you know, it just blends so much quicker and easier with everything. But anyway, the vegetables can take their time today, because we're going to try out some wines, okay? You just do your thing. Don't feel you've got to hurry, you know. Don't feel you've got to get hot. I'm just going to put a saucepan lid on that just to increase the heat a bit. There we go. Right. So let's see what wines we've got today. It's really very exciting. I'm going to start with the unusual wine, which is called Fiano, and that's from southern Italy. This is a remarkable wine because it smells and tastes exceedingly of walnuts, so it's probably not a very good choice for the summer, but it's absolutely brilliant in the winter for your cheese board. You know, you've got your nuts, you've got dates, figs, you know, quince jelly and whatever. This is the one. It's really superb. In fact, if anything, it tastes like a very powerful dry sherry, and will make a superb aperitif. Now, I've got these just in the fridge door, so let's have a look at this. Ching! All right, just a touch of this one for a moment. These are made by Dominic Hentau, who's a flying winemaker. He just grabs parcels of super quality grape and makes the best wines he can with the terroir. So here we are on the nose. Yeah, you've got all this sort of white truffle, forest mulch and walnut coming in. On the plate. It's just, what I said, you know, a little bit of forest mulch, there's a bit of white truffle, there's a hefty, quite big section of walnut. So if you don't like walnut, you won't like this one, but it is a quality wine to be quaffing in the winter with a fantastic cheese and nut board. It's just that I went and chose it for a July day. I would say not really a barbecue wine, this one. It's not a crowd pleaser at all. It's an aficionado's wine. So if you like a really fine sherry or a white port, you will like this wine, not least because it's super quality. And, you know, you won't be quaffing it. You'll take your time to sip it and appreciate it. So it's ideal. It's 12%, and these wines come from Naked Wines. All the wines I'm going to try today are from Naked Wines, and I'll leave you a link so you can get yourself £80 discount off a case of 12. Why wouldn't you? And all your future cases will have free, really top quality bottles of wine in. Now, the point about Naked Wines is that they're very much boutique, handcrafted, very, very ethical wines, and they find some really great, you know, passionate winemakers who then, some of them have their own winemaking facilities, others sort of cadge off other people, but they get in these incredible lucky parcels of grapes, and they blend them fantastically, and you get some of the world's most incredible wines at the most ridiculously cheap price if you know what you're looking for. Right, what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to add that spring greens. So I've got half a bag of spring greens here, which, you know, equates to some kind of weird Chinese green vegetable. But I'm British, so I don't get off that. It's just like curry, isn't it? We've got the recipe now, so they can go home. And I think the same about the Chinese bless their little hearts. No, I don't really. I get on really well with multinationals, to be fair. I teach more multinationals than I do British, because at least A, they want to learn, and B, they've got the money. Not that money's everything, of course. When it comes to wine, money definitely isn't anything, really. You've got to know the show. That's what you've got to do. So this is Puglia, heel of Italy, Fiano. Fantastic single varietal, not to everyone's taste, not really a summer wine, but it's going to go amazingly where you might put a port, a Madeira or a sherry. It is a absolutely superb wine, you know. It's just, I mean, when I say superb wine, I mean a wine that's made in a specific place with a specific terroir, one varietal, and nobody else in the world copies you. That's pretty something. Now what I'm going to try now in the fridge door is the Terra Rossa. So this is a Rosato, which is incredibly interesting because it's modelled on the red version. And if you know Puglia at all, you're going to know that the red wines pack a powerful punch. It's like being kicked three times over in quick succession by a mule. Because you've got Primitivo, Nero di Troia, and Negro Amaro. And of course, Primitivo is better known in California as, that's right, Zinfandel. So that's the grape that travelled, you know. Anyway, let's not waffle, but just squabble. So here we go. Beautiful, almost orange salmon pink colours. Very, very nice. Just been chilling in the fridge there. And I'm actually going to leave this one out now to warm up a bit to room temperature, because one part of my sauce for stir fry, it's just about to start happening, is rosé wine. I just don't think you can make a sufficient sauce with a wok unless you've got rosé wine. It doesn't matter what rosé, it's just got to be pink, you know. So let's start throwing that together and then I'll taste the wine. So let's throw on some Terra Rossa, a small glass full, you know. Don't be stingy, for goodness sake. And then what else do we want? We want some cider vinegar. It's CY because it's Aspels from Suffolk. There we go. Good quantity of that because, you know, it's practically wine itself. And then a bit of lemon juice. Throw that on. Good bit of lemon juice. Half a lime if you've got one, but I haven't today. And then a small orange, or I've got a sort of juicy fat, easy peeling clementine here that looks as if it should have gone out of date in December, but it's still with us. You know, well, it isn't anymore because I'm just squeezing the whole fecking life out of it. In it goes, just put the segments in with it all. It's delicious, isn't it? There we go. And that's to the other half. So there's, you know, the main components of my sauce. I mean, if you want to put soy in, that's great, but I don't do salt. So I sometimes put Liam Perrins, but there's none left. So I'm trying to do the rest of the summer without Liam Perrins. I doubt that's going to happen. So fresh orange, lemon, lime. I mean, if you are struggling for fresh, obviously you can use supermarket lemon juice and lime juice from the baking department, but don't even think about using orange juice, for goodness sake. Do you know what that stuff is? It's sugar water. That's all it is. There's no goodness left in it at all by the time it's got into that Tetra Pak. Now, that's all looking pretty good. Let's throw on the molten spices. That was nutmeg, five spice, and some ginger. Just pop a little tiny bit more water in there. Doesn't really matter how liquid your sauce is, because you can always drain it off, or you can use it as a soup base another day or something. Right, let's get that. Now, what we want now is we want the whole thing to start believing in itself as a sort of national entity called the wok today. And the wok today, peoples of the wok today, land of the wok today. And so that's starting to come together there. I mean, yellow pepper, orange pepper, whatever you've got, you know, just throw it all in. There we go. Just mulch that up a little bit. And then what I personally prefer to add once the dish is in the dish is my toasted sesame oil and my runny honey, because they don't go very far once they start getting warm. So I just do all the rest of it, you know, fling flang flong and bing bang bosh and flish flash flosh and flush flish brosh flish brosh. Anyway, yeah, that'll be fine. Just let that nestle in there and mildew a bit. And you know, I've got sesame seeds to finalize the thing, but I've also got some cardamom pods. So if I get around to discussing the wines, I'll cut the cardamom pods up. Don't forget, you don't want to just chuck them in as they are. You've got to slice them with a fine knife. And there are little tiny black grainy bits inside, and those go in. It says 2021 Terra Rossa Primitivo Nero di Troia Negro Amaro from Puglia, and it is a gorgeous colour. On the nose, there's a good bit of, you know, a little bit of raspberry, rose petals, strawberry, maybe pomegranate, and that ubiquitous walnut, not as heavy as the Fiano. Now that's a very, very, very good quality wine, but again, it's definitely not going to be to everyone's taste. So I would actually say these two wines are much, much more of a choice for winter. So don't forget, the sauce is rosé wine, soy or Liam Perrins if you want, lemon, lime and orange with the, you know, liquefied powder spices. And then later on I'm going to finish it off with toasted sesame oil and honey, and essentially that's it. You know, it works for everything. It doesn't matter what vegetables you've got, the same sauce works over and over again. And you can add anything from, you know, sizzling beef to pork, turkey, chicken, king prawns, bacon if you want to, turkey, what, you know, just whatever. I mean, duck, anything, just fecking anything. It is brilliant. It's a one dish does all. Now I'm gonna finish off here with the other wine, which is, I think you're going to be bowled over. This one's from Moldova. Oh yes, I put it in the freezer. If you do put something in the freezer, it's always a good job to remember you did so about 10 to 20 minutes afterwards. Otherwise, bye. You're going to be, well, let's not go there. Right, try it for yourself and see what happens. Now, I'm just going to cut a couple of cardamom pods and then we'll get into this wine. So, I mean, you know, with regards to things like cardamom, and you can use any spices you want. Obviously, you could put chilli in if you want, but, you know, it's just all a matter of taste. And it's a matter of many, many attempts to see how much is going to make any slight difference at all. I mean, I never use salt and pepper in cooking, actually, because I just don't have any salt or pepper. I have got a little bit of salt, but it's for my foot barbs occasionally. Train up my feet, you know, for going paddling in the sea. I do love these cardamoms. So they're really green outside, and then inside you've got these little tiny crushed pepper-like seeds. They're so sort of user friendly somehow. You feel as if they love you just for opening their pod, you know. That's what I feel about them. Right, one more of those and then we'll just give the wine a once over. So what I want to suggest is that the other two wines were really best suited for winter and winter dishes, particularly desserts and a cheese board. But I have a suspicion that this Moldovan Pinot Grigio is going to be good for a barbecue. Right, let's try. So on the nose, we've got pineapple, lychee, nectarine. Oh, super cool. Lemongrass, sea salt, toffee crumble, all those kind of lovely things. And the point about it is that it's not like an Italian Pinot, which are often very, very watery, to be fair. This has got high-level interwoven texture, and it's much more like an Australian Chardonnay. But it's an absolute crowd pleaser. Anyone that likes a white wine is going to be drawn to this. They're going to be massively bowled over by your Pinot from Moldova. And so I have to highly, highly recommend this one. It's Serena Cordero. It's 13% and it was a naked wine. And you are not going to be disappointed with that one. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to slice the turkey, which I had already pre-cooked, into the mix. And then I'm going to leave it for about a minute and a half. And then I'm going to, let's get this wine over here. You have to be sensible with wine, you know, because it just goes, doesn't it? Just anywhere. I mean, if it can, it just will. And it won't ever do it to your benefit or whatever. So, I mean, this is quick as quick, and you can taste your wines while you're doing it, and it just goes with absolutely everything. It's a one-stop shops all, a one load of vegetables and some spices and a bit of sauce and some oil, a bit of honey and whatnot, and before you know it, you've got a quick dinner that looks like you went out and, you know, paid some money at the till or whatever. When you can cook like this, you don't ever, ever, ever go get a takeaway. If you wanted to have noodles with this or rice, of course you could, but there's just me and there's a lot of vegetables and meat in there, so I just don't feel a need for any filler food, essentially. Right, let's get the bowl. There we are, that's a nice bowl ready. And now, I don't know how you feel about chopsticks. These particular chopsticks were free from a Chinese takeaway a long time ago, before I learned how to cook the thing. They can go home now, can't they? Yeah. Cheers! That is, oh, went up my nose. That's one chilled wine. Right, let's get this wok into and we'll just finish it off, okay? Now, obviously, got a big wok. You can do as much as you like for as many as you like. If you did twice as many vegetables, a bit of rice and noodles, it would probably feed about six. But I'm quite a trencher woman, so I do eat a fair old bit there. There we go. Smelling nice and spicy. Again, the beauty of this type of cooking is you can do whatever you want, you know, you can really spice it up or just make it nice and gentle. Let's get a bit of this red pepper all over the place. It's the only bit of colour in there actually today. Okay, now don't forget you can put fresh cut pineapple on, I just don't have any, but you know, it's endless what you can put on. You can put cashew nuts on if you want, all that good five a day stuff. Now, let's have a look. So we're going for the runny honey. Let's get a nice little squeezy jar of the stuff. Yes, it's an extravagance, just go for it. It's good for you and it's especially good with pork and of course turkey and sesame oil, which apparently is great for stir fries and intensely nutty. Just slosh it on, you know, like there's no tomorrow basically. Right, and sesame seeds. I just put them scattered over the top to make it look like, you know, I know what I'm doing, basically. There we go. Now I'm just going to take a nice little picture of that and the wine. And then we're all set to go. Juice. Lovely job. Lovely job, lovely job, lovely job. Yeah, don't forget the sauce is basically rosé wine, cider vinegar, three types of citrus, the liquefied powdered spices, and then later on it's sesame oil and honey. If you want to add soy or Liam Perrin you can, but really and honestly you don't need to. What I try to do over the years is to totally minimalize, so all the little ingredients that go in things that you just don't need, like salt in bread. You're still putting salt in bread, dear me. You don't need salt in bread. It's lush without it. You try the next few batches of bread without any salt, you're going to be sold. To me, salty bread and non-salty bread, and the same with butter. For goodness sake, don't still buy salted butter, do you? It's like smoking or not smoking. Once you've given up smoking, you don't want to smoke anymore. Once you've given up salt, you don't want salt anymore. I never have added salt. I mean, the reason why they used to salt butter was it was the only way they had to keep it from going off. But you probably keep your butter in the fridge. So the fridge is the salt, if you get the meaning. You know, the salt, it was the preservative, but now the fridge is. So you don't need salt in your butter. It's just that your great-grandmother used it, and your grandmother used it, and your mother used it, and you've used it, and you got used to the taste. You desperately need to lose a love of the taste of salt. Right, there are lots of reasons. One is majorly that it can contribute heavily to things like kidney disease. You just don't want that, right? Just don't take the risk. Get rid of all the salt you can. And secondly, you're never going to have a flavour for wine or anything else if you're still eating unnecessary salt in stupid things like butter, right? Or bread, for goodness sake. Dear, dear me. Lose your taste for salt. Here's a way to lose your taste for salt. Go out and buy those Smith's crisps in a pack of six, right? They've got little bags of blue bags of salt in. Chuck the little blue bag out and get used to the taste of potatoes. If you can't eat something without salt, there's something wrong with you. If you don't like chips without salt, the reality is you don't like chips, and probably it's because you don't like potatoes. Because potatoes are pure filler food. And let's face it, even animals won't eat them, will they? So, do you know, I was once sorting a kid out for the afternoon. I said, what do you want to eat? Quick. She goes, oh, I want mash and chips. Bloody hell. Right, so I'm all ready. Let's do the photograph. Have a good afternoon. Have a good evening. Get yourself some Moldovan wine because you're going to be bowled over by the Moldova.